¿Cómo estás, joven? What up, young? As the kids say in Spanish. I just realized that we say it all the time. I didn't even realize it. There you go, Ana Rosa. See, it is a way that people speak in other worlds. I don't know if that made any sense at all. Doesn't matter. It's Sex Acts Radio, and we're presented by David Gardner's Jewelers. We're here in the Rollo Insurance Studio. And right now, it's time for our former player interview presented by Factory Builder Stores. Factory Builder Stores has got great brands like Sub-Zero, Wolf & Cove, brand new showroom in College Station. They got showrooms in Houston, Dallas, Austin, and San Antonio. Your favorite hometown appliance store is Factory Builder Stores. And with that, we go to the hotline. Jamie McCoy with us. What up, young?
What's going on, David? How you doing today?
I'm all right, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Especially after an Aggie win. Great this week.
Heck yeah, man. So, all right, let's kind of go to the end of the game, and you're watching that field goal on television. You weren't at the game, right? You watched it at home, I assume?
No, I was at a wedding, actually.
Okay, all right. So what are you thinking? Are you thinking, just went in? Are you thinking, oh, my, like, just take me through that.
We were all gathered around, well, I say all of us, the Aggies that were there at the wedding, and we're watching on the phone. I think we had two phones up. So we had a group over in one section, a group over in another section. And I'm just thinking, man, if they make this, we got very little time to go down and try to answer. And as it went up, I feel like I saw it ding off that upright initially and fall back, and we all just went crazy.
Heck yeah, man. I what I was worried was that I was trying to look at reactions, right? The players were looking at the opposite side reaction, because I was like, did it fall in though? Like I was kind of confused by it.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's one of those odd deals. You never see it kind of hit the top of the goalpost, and you didn't really have that big doing that, that kind of ring off sound. And like you said, looking at the reactions, you're waiting to see who's yelling in the stands, who's going crazy. And it was just a good feeling to see them miss that thing.
Jamie, how do they fix these slow starts? I know that they had a faster start against Miami, a start, if you will. But like, I feel like both defense and offense have kind of been on their heels to start games.
I think you can offensively. I think you can fix it by taking a shot early. Just implementing a shot play, whether it's a fade, a deep post. I'm not a big advocate of the trick play where you kind of do a reverse or some type of screen or something just kind of out of your element. But I think you just take a shot early, and If you happen to complete a shot early, you get Max in a better rhythm. He's feeling good about himself. That's one way. And then defensively, like I said, I want to see our opposing quarterbacks feel like, man, these guys are all over me. I hate the fact that they get to sit back there in the pocket and just be comfortable. So initially, if you want to start early on defense, I'd like to see us bringing a little bit more pressure just to kind of set the tone and say, hey, we're going to be here in your face all day. We're not going to sit back and let you guys have your mercy.
Talking to Jamie McCoy here on Texax Radio, presented by David Gardner's Jewelers. It is our former player interview brought to you by Factory Builder Stores. I feel like, and we know this is the case every year, like this is not like groundbreaking journalism, but I feel like we're watching this team grow up each week. The younger players that get so much attention, they're not playing. They're still making mistakes, don't get me wrong, but the whole team is making mistakes. But the team itself, I feel like we're watching grow up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's what you got to have. You can't really do it. You can watch as much film as you want to watch. And as a backup, you can be watching the guy in front of you and trying to learn from his mistakes. But the best experience is game experience and getting these guys on the field and actually getting plays under their belt and reps under their belt. You kind of got to – you're going to have your good and bad, but when you get the bad, you got to kind of learn from it and put it in the filing cabinet and just know, hey, I can't do this necessarily again. And then you turn to Anais, who unfortunately we lose for the season. That's just, in Pittsburgh, Coach Tomlin would always say, next man up. The standard is the standard. So we got to see which young guy is going to fill that role for us, because it's a big role that needs to be filled. Those are some big shoes to fill, especially on the punt return end, just the confidence that we had back there in him. So it's ways and opportunities for these guys to step up and even do more as young guys.
Well, I want to talk about some guys stepping up, and one of those being Donovan Green. He had some big catches the other day. After a while, it felt like, you know, tight ends weren't a part of this offense anymore. They had moved on, but they brought him back in. He led the team in receptions. He had a big third down conversion. He's got size, speed. He can block a little bit. He does it all.
Yeah. I heard Jimbo in his press conference say, you know, he's just been kind of taking it easy with the young guys and not wanting to put too much pressure on them for them to go in there and feel like they have to do something or perform a certain way. So for us to get them going in the fourth game of the year, get some catches under his belt, like you said, get some blocking. I'd like to see another one emerge so that we can use our personnel as a better weapon for ourselves. You know, getting some bigger guys out there and making the other team have to put bigger, slower guys on the field as well. But for him to emerge and make big catches, I think that only goes, you know, his confidence is going to go through the roof. He's going to get better. It should motivate the other tight ends in the room to want to get on the field and do the same and be the next guy up. So I'm hoping to see big things moving forward for the tight ends as we get into conference play.
Yeah, we definitely need to do that. And I want to go back to Anais and the fact that he means so much to this program, this particular group, but also his legacy, I think, is going to be one of those that we talk about for a while. Without him, you're missing a playmaker. But opportunities are there for others to kind of take another step. How do you make up when you got your second or your first big option and he goes away? Obviously, that's a big step backward. But how do you make it up with what you already have? And I'm saying maybe in the target department. Like, how do you target Evan Stewart a little bit more? Do you find new ways to get Devon even the ball even a little bit more?
I think it's a little bit of both. It's going to be the play calling, knowing that we don't have that guy there dependable as he was. We can't call plays for him because he's not going to be in the game. But at the same time, it's got to be mentally for some of these younger receivers to step up and know, hey, our number one target is gone. Who's going to fill the role? Who's going to fill that void? And I think we got the guys capable of doing that. It's just going to be, like I said, a matter of stepping up to the plate and wanting to take that. Because some guys, believe it or not, they don't, you know, they like playing the role that they play. I'm looking for somebody to step up and put a little bit more burden on their back.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So we talked about the slow starts, but throughout the game, there have been silly mistakes. And I want you to take me through a player's mind with these mistakes, because you know not to jump off sides. You know not to, you know, make whatever mistake it may be, you know, if it's a illegal block, if it's whatever, right? Like, how does it happen consecutively with even veteran players, not just the young players?
It's just a lapse of focus. Whether it's offsides, I got some young kids that I train now, and it's one of those deals. We can be in the huddle, and I'm calling the play, and I say, hey, we're going on two. I'll look everybody in the eye. We're going on two. Like, y'all got it? They're like, yeah. Get up there, say, hut. Two of them jump. It's like, we just talked about this. It's just one of those deals where you got to focus and lock in. And I know Jimbo has said a little bit about getting the nerves out and just playing. Don't put too much pressure on yourself, because that's another form of it, is you're up there on the line and you're saying to yourself, okay, I got this block, and if this guy blitzes, then I got to change my route. You're thinking about so many things that it just kind of goes past you, like, oh, the snap count is on two this time. Or when you miss a block, you should know, hey, I can't push this guy in the back, but it's like, I don't want the play to be messed up because of me, so let me just grab this guy or nudge him or whatever. And it's like, you're only doing us more harm. Move up to the next level. So it's one of those things that you just got to grow from. And like I said, be focused and locked in and just do your job, so to speak.
Jamie, I'm going to make this comparison with my boys who play soccer, right? And sometimes because they play defense, they don't like feel part of the game for a little while. So I always tell them, go make some contact early. I want you to go knock somebody on their tail without getting a card early in the game, just to feel part of the game. How important is that in football? Let's say you're a guy that doesn't get the ball very often. You just need to feel part of the flow, so when the ball comes your way, you are ready, as opposed to you've kind of been cold out there even though you're playing.
Oh, yeah. It's huge. That was a big part of my deal. It's funny that you say that, to go do it early. I would always try to take that moment before the game during warmups, whether you got with somebody and y'all just kind of banged heads, or did any some you know I know some old linemen that like to do the whole smelling salt deal, and that kind of wakes them up and get them fired up. But I was always that guy, similar to your boys, having to actually feel myself get somewhat cracked, not cracked like you trying to get a concussion or something, but just feel a hit and say, you know, it kind of jars you and say, okay, I'm ready to go out here, because it's going to happen all game. But it's just one of those deals that when you're not necessarily involved, it's like I said, again, staying mentally focused and mentally ready and saying, hey, my time is going to come. Let me be ready and prepare for it. Let me not just react and go out here and, you know, do something foolish.
What do you think about Max's command of this offense so far? The numbers aren't splashy, but he's not turning the ball over.
Yeah, I think he's doing a great job. I mean, he's undefeated. That's the one thing. And I'll take it, whether it's a 2-point win or a 20-point win. I think the numbers are going to come. It's not a secret that he did stuff to us last year in that LSU game. I know he's more than capable. We just got to get him, like I said, feeling comfortable enough to go out there and let that thing fly. So the more that he does it every week, I see him getting better and better. And I think he'll just be building upon that. With this week, with us going up against the passing team, I'm hoping we can get out and jump out on them early. But should we see ourselves falling behind, it's no doubt that he's going to have to let that thing fly and show us what he's made of.
Are you seeing plays that should have been made beyond, like, the mistakes? Like, are you seeing, like, this guy was so open, if we would have had just a split second more? Like, are you seeing big play potential even though the team is not putting up big plays?
Yeah, I've seen some areas where a block could have been made that had that block had been made, we would have sprouted something a little further. There's definitely times where receivers are open, or the quarterback just may be looking at a different side of the field and misses something over there on the backside. So there's opportunity there. And I know I've heard Jimbo talk about going into the film, kind of getting Max's thoughts as far as, what were you thinking here? Why did you do this? Why'd you make the decision that you made? And like I said, with all that, with the coaching that's going on, I see him just building and improving. So he hadn't necessarily wowed us yet, but we're still getting W's in the win column. So hopefully, like I said, it's going to come.
Let's look at both sides of the ball against Mississippi State. They have a pretty good defense. And you've struggled offensively. But offensively, this is a team that the three-man front last year struggled against, but I think we've seen some growth in that department. So what has to happen this weekend on the road in Stark Vegas to get a win against Mississippi State?
I think defensively, we've got to mix it up. We can't do the same thing. I know Leach is the type of quarterback, going back to my Tech days, he had no problem going for it on 4th-and-1, 4th-and-2. So we got to – I like to see us keep them in the long, down and distance areas. Definitely got to get some type of pressure. Like I said, we can't have the quarterback back there feeling comfortable. And I like to see two turnovers, whether it be a fumble, an interception, something where the defense has a spark for us. I'd love to see a pick six or something like that. I think that'd be great. Offensively, I think we got to do what we've been doing, run the ball well, somehow get more explosive in the pass plays. I like to see 3 to 5 explosive plays where we getting 20, 25 plus yards on a certain play. And just impose your will. Special teams have been doing a good job. Like I said, somebody's going to have to step up in that return game. But if we can do the little things and not let them get too big-headed and, you know, jump out to a big lead on us, I think we'll be okay.
Bryce Foster's been a nice return to that O-line. I feel like they've gotten better each game, but really in that game alone, in the Arkansas game, they were a different team after the first quarter from a line perspective.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, these guys are – I think they're finally starting to put it together. Bryce is the leader of that deal. I know he had some bad snaps there that he's going to get corrected. But that O-line is – it's really like a – they've got to mesh well together. And I think with all the injuries we had in the first couple of games, you got to get some type of continuity going. And I think we found that. And I think these guys are going to build on that. Like we said, each week has gotten better. I think Bryce is going to keep on leading these guys. And I'm hoping that Achane and the rest of those backs back there can do some damage for us this week. I'm looking for 150 to 200 rushing. That'd be my type of.
I asked this to Shereen. I'll ask you, Shereen Williams, earlier. Have you redefined what your expectations for this year are going to be? Because before the season, most people, myself included, had this as a 10-win team. The Appalachian State game happened, and then I was like, I don't know, dude. Like, are they going to win another game? Because I always do that. I always go straight to the negative. But that is still all very possible. But I do know that this two-game stretch right here could determine a lot. So have you redefined what you think a successful year is going to be this year?
Kind of. I hate using the deal a young team and rebuilding, because I don't necessarily think that's where we're at right now. I think we're ready to strike. But losing that App State game just kind of, one, put a bad taste in your mouth. And I know I was planning on going to Miami, but was like, man, I don't know. I ain't trying to go out here and we lose and beat 1-2 at night game. But we found a way to bounce back. I think it's still ahead of us. Like you said, with these next two games, should we be able to pull off something miraculous and win these two? I think we absolutely could be a 10-win team. And even if we go 1-1, we still got 10 wins on as an option. Redefine it, yes, I've had to do that, but I still have all the utmost confidence in these boys. Believe it or not, we hadn't played near our best game. And that's, there's still room for growth. Guys are still young and guys are still learning. So I still see us being a better team. So I've kind of had to temper my expectations, but at the same time, I still know that it's all possible out there. And I'm expecting us to be there. 10 wins, 10 win plus.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate that, Jamie. We'll talk to you next week, my friend.
All right. Sounds good, David. You guys have a great week.
You too. Jamie McCoy there on the hotline. Appreciate his time. Right now, we're talking about the Association of Former Students. Over 140 years, your financial gifts have empowered them to be here, to be there, to be everywhere. And that's what they do. They like to help out Aggies all around the globe. I'm talking current students and former students. That is what the association does. You are their why. Everybody's got like a mission statement, even if you define it or not. They've defined theirs, and theirs is just taking care of Aggies. And you are their why, which is why they've created IamTheWhy.com, a website with a collection of stories about Aggies. Aggies and their time at A&M, Aggies and their time beyond, the pitfalls, the good times, everything rolled into one, and it's a site where you can upload your story as well. Go to IamTheWhy.com, tell everybody your story, your Aggie story, and then when you're there, check out all these amazing stories, a collection of these stories that you're going to feel empowered by and you're really going to connect with. IamTheWhy.com is the website. Again, that is IamTheWhy.com. We're back. It's TechSags Radio, presented by David Gardner's Jewelers here in the Rollo Insurance Studio. Appreciate everybody listening in. Rollo Insurance is the official insurance provider of TechSags Radio. The difference is real. They are an independent insurance company built around educating you on exactly what you're paying for, doing the shopping for you so that you can accomplish all of your insurance goals. They can write any form of insurance to anyone in Texas. They've got several other states as well, and they've got over 45 offices. They have 45 offices in the state of Texas. Their headquarters is on Highway 6 right here in Colorado Station. Call them up at 888-44-ROLLO or go to rolloinsurance.com. Do want to get to some text messages here in a moment, but let's hear from Jimbo about those faster starts that I keep harping on, because I'd love, we saw it a little bit against Miami, but I'd love to see this team playing with a lead. I'd love to see this team go out and score more often in their first couple of drives. I'd love to see that. So here's Jimbo on how they correct that.
Jimbo, can you put your finger on the slow starts to these games?
Yeah, that's why what I just said. I mean, last week we didn't. Last week we started fast. I think we emotionally moved back. I think we get so wound up, we were perfectly set. All of a sudden decide, oh, I got to give you an inch back. Next one, we had a one of them, we got the short yardage, and we're motioning. The guy, he just leans forward. And I think guys wanting to go play, gets controlling emotions, relaxing, and going. So just, we rehearse those plays vigorously before today. I mean, for they know the first script and everything that's going out. Just got to relax and make the plays.
All right, make those plays. I hope it's as simple as that. I do. It just takes a little while to get them going, and hopefully they take care of that, because going on the road, your first true, real road test there, all Mississippi State cowbells going crazy. It is something that needs to certainly, they cannot, you don't want to fall behind and have Mike Leach just keep, you know, paper cutting you to death, right? You just don't want that to happen. We go to the News and Social Center. Anna Rosa Peterson's got some text messages for us.
All right. Jim in Temple says, I noticed when Mississippi State played at LSU, as that game went along, LSU was getting early heavy pressure on Will Rogers, something we never did last year at home. Whatever they did, I am sure has been seen in the Aggie defense film room. Aggies need to employ something similar to that, hurry him into making mistakes, sacks, turn them over.
Yeah, that is something that I certainly want to see. I definitely want to see more pressure on the quarterbacks. The sacks haven't really been there this year. And you got some hosses out there, right? Some big studs. So, yes, getting to last year was just so frustrating because that three-man front, A, wasn't getting to the quarterback, and B, wasn't stopping the passing game. And, yes, you only gave up whatever it was, 24 real points or, you know, however many it was, because I know it was 26-22 final, 26-21 final. But the fact was you weren't getting to Will Anderson at all. Will Rogers, excuse me. You weren't getting to him at all. And he was just slicing you up, and it just felt like it happened all game long. And then on third downs, and, you know, that guy, he's been in the system 3 years now. He gets it. He's, you know, now the offensive line is not as good as it was last year, and that's where you have to capitalize. You've got, that's what LSU did so well, especially in the end of the game, was getting to the quarterback, getting to Will Rogers. If A&M can do that, that it changes the way you play. We just haven't seen enough of it. But again, they are growing up. What else, Anna Rosa?
Going off of that, another texter says, it doesn't matter if it's a three-man front or a four-man front. The defense needs to tackle low and take their feet from under them. They did it to KJ Jefferson a couple of plays, but on most of the plays, the Aggies were trying to get him by the waist area or even higher.
Yeah, I probably got to go back and watch that. There were a couple times I do remember the high stuff. Just, I don't care how you do it. Tackle him by his ear, whatever. Get him down. You know what I'm saying? Like, just
that would hurt. Well, by the ear.
You know, if you can squeeze your finger between that little hole behind, you know, just all right.
What else? Tried that personally, Joey and Brian.
Wait, you've tried that?
No, I haven't tried that.
Try it sometime.
Yeah, I don't go around tackling people though. Joey and Brian says Leach runs those 6 to 7 yard slants that keep them on the field. We have 5 yards to bump the receivers. Do it. It throws their timing off and gives us time to get to the QB. That's what DJ Durkin needs to do, and that's how you beat Leach.
Well, I'm going to tell you guys, Durkin's had success against them. So let's do it. Let's do it. He passed the first test, which was Arkansas, and it didn't start off very good, but it ended up pretty good, right? Hopefully they can do that again this weekend as they take on Mississippi State. All right, when we come back here on Texas Aggs Radio, Daryl Bruffett will join us from KBTX Sports for our weekly hit with them as we get closer to the game against Mississippi State. But right now, I need caller number one. We're going to give you a free car wash from Aggieland Express Car Wash in South College Station off of William D. Fitch in Greens Prairie. Aggie owner and operator with the friendliest staff and a personal touch. They offer a monthly membership, but we're going to give the first caller a free car wash right now from Aggieland Express in South College Station, 979-693-1150. It is Tuesday. You know what that means. KBTX is in the house with us. Daryl Bruffett, sports director. Good morning, sir.
How are you doing today?
I'm good, man. What's going on with you?
You know, just kind of recovering from a, I guess a late night, early morning drive back from Arlington, and then, you know, trying to catch up on my honeydews and then get ready for a road trip to Mississippi State. I don't like the road.
Yeah, no.
I mean, if A&M could play, you know, 12 home games, I'd be happy as could be.
Well, and also, and I don't know if this is the same way for you, but at least for me, I don't recover from these road trips like I used to. Like, I get tired for a couple of days. Like, it's just the driving, the flying, the just out of, you know, my routine. It does catch up with you.
And for us, I mean, and I'm not trying to separate us, but, you know, we try to make sure that we stay here on a Friday night to cover our high school football stuff. And then, you know, we might go home for an hour or two to grab a nap because you don't go to sleep, really.
Yeah.
You shower, and then we're on the road to, you know, either Houston or Austin. Heaven forsakes, we have to drive all the way to Dallas to catch a flight to go to the next, you know, the next A&M out-of-town football game. So that's the way our life rolls.
Before the segment, we were chatting about just how different it is for what you do and what we do here. And I was in that world. Sometimes you guys are, you know, you're looking at things through this lens and you're seeing where the action is. And you probably see things that we don't see from up high. Conversely, there's things that happen, you know, that you can see from the all 11 that you don't get to see because you're so close.
That is true. I mean, when Anais went down, I knew somebody got hurt. I didn't know exactly who it was that got hurt because I never got to see their number as they came off the field, and they don't make an announcement to, you know,
right,
throughout the stadium. But conversely, there's nothing cooler than to be, I mean, I wish I would have been on the other corner of the field, but to be 120 yards away from the ball getting knocked out,
right,
and then you see it, and then you see Damani running down the sidelines, and, I mean, that's a pretty neat feeling. That is a great perspective to be from. So, yeah, it's different. I mean, you know, I see the whole – it's like I'm watching the game through a deer rifle scope. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just this because, you close this eye when you're looking.
Yeah. And I think for me the hardest thing was to follow the ball in the air. I mean, baseball, forget about it. I couldn't do that. But following the football, like, there's an art to being able to know, you know, not fall for the fake and then follow it in the air.
Shooting at Kyle Field during the day is tough because everybody's wearing maroon, mm-hmm, and the ball is brown. And sometimes it's hard to pick the ball up. A nighttime game's a little easier because of the way the lights kind of reflect off the ball a little bit. But yeah, it can be difficult. Now, you have a cloudy day for baseball, I'm with you. Forget it. Mm-hmm. A night game with baseball, it's almost like the baseball looks like the moon as it's leaving the bat.
Yeah, I wish I could say that. I'd still miss it. Doesn't matter for me. let's talk about Max Johnson. You probably see his command of the offense there in the huddle. You're up close, and just the way things are going with him. What have you noticed about Max being the quarterback now?
No turnovers.
Yeah.
I mean, that is huge. I would like to see them be able to increase their passing numbers more, but I love the fact that he does not create turnovers. Now, you know, he's had some fumbled snaps and that kind of thing. You know, I think he and Bryce Foster need to get together for a little extra work after practice or whatever. Or, I mean, you know, we don't have to be in the shotgun all the time. Let's take it back under center. Let's drop back three steps because you're not going to throw the ball immediately. And you're going to, you know, ensure that you're going to get the snap completed. So, I mean, I didn't realize he was as good a runner as he is and a smarter runner. I mean, you know, the guy gets down. So I have nothing but, you know, I've been impressed with Max Johnson.
Yeah, I have too. And on that Bryce Foster thing, yesterday Jimbo kind of spoke about Bill Walsh, that they didn't do the shotgun back in his day because the center's eyes are looking down. He wanted his center to look up because when you're doing the shotgun, you're looking down. And it's just funny how football has evolved. Athletes have gotten better, yes, but football has evolved to where that is such a necessary component.
Did Jimbo go into his deal about driving down the highway and ducking under the...
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
I've heard him say that before, and that is so true.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, duck your head down and lift your head up and see, you know, the fact how quick things are going to develop in front of you.
Well, I do think in that game particularly, I saw the offensive line get better. There was a point, and I'm going to assume it was somewhere after the first quarter, where it didn't seem like the Arkansas defenders were in the backfield every play. It felt like we were starting to get some push. Did you see the O-line kind of grow up a little bit?
I did. I saw that it seemed like Max got some time to throw a little bit, look around. You know, Devon had some holes that he could run through, that 62-yard run. You know, I think he again, you know, I when I get home, I'll watch the replay to see what I missed. And Lori will be sitting there with me. She goes, did you see this plan? I had no idea. She goes, well, did you see how, you know, Moose Muhammad kind of pulled up a little bit on that long pass that could have been a touchdown? No, to me, it was an overthrow. But when I watch the replay,
you see it,
I see it. And I go, yeah, if he'd have just kept running. But, yeah, I do think that they have gotten better. They still got a long way to go.
They do.
Because they need to be – God, you need to be so dominating on that offensive line. I mean, that is, I mean, you got to have your studs, but those guys have got to be the guys that are making the push and making it happen.
So in the press box, sometimes you don't feel like the energy in the stadium, right? Because you're kind of there, but you're not. It's almost like you're in the mall, right? But I could tell the energy change on Anais's run. There was something about both sides of the stadium on the 63-yard run. It felt different. Obviously, after the fumble touchdown that the A&M defense had with Damani and the whole crew, Tyreek Chappelle and Chris Russell, it felt like the energy changed. Could you feel that?
Not as much on that run, although that did seem like it gave some life to A&M because, I mean, what was it, 14-0 at that point maybe?
Yep.
So I think that gave them some life. And then Did they go down and score off of that?
Yeah, they did.
Okay, so on that touchdown pass to Evan Stewart?
Correct.
So, yes, I do think that but I really, I mean, everybody's talked about the turning point being, you know, Devonte basically saying, hey, I'll take that from you. That really seemed like that kind of turned the tide. And had Fadell Diggs been able to scoop and score against Appalachian State, that would have been, you know, I think a turning point too, but it was an incomplete pass. But, you know, coaches will always tell you, anytime your defense scores, that increases your, you know, chances of winning exponentially.
Well, this team, even though offensively challenged, they are offensively challenged, they do find ways with special teams and defense to put their team in a much better position because it is three phases of football, and they may be lacking in certain areas. Those other areas, they're doing pretty well.
They are. I still think they need to be able to throw the football a whole lot better. Mm-hmm. I think what they had 140 yards throwing against Miami and
150 against Arkansas.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
So, you know, now no interceptions, but still, you know, teams are gonna pack, you know, as they say, you know, pack the box or whatever, and they're gonna force you to have to throw the football, and A&M hasn't proven that they can really do that all that well. And, you know, when you lose zero, you lose a lot of your passing ability too. Not saying that nobody else can do that, but, I mean, he is a guy that makes it go.
He does make it go, which makes me wonder how they replace that, and not with one player, but does that mean they find different ways to get A-Chain the ball? He's already getting the ball many different ways, but maybe a couple more here. And then Evan Stewart, who's been getting it, what, five times a game? Maybe that has to be increased to seven, and maybe the tight ends are going to start getting a little bit more look as we saw in the past game.
You know, it does. I don't know why. I don't know this kid, but I'm a big fan of Yule Keith.
Yeah.
I'd like to see him get the ball more. Moose, I do know they used the tight end more this past weekend against Arkansas, and they're going to have to do that. The key is, and I heard you guys talk earlier in your show because I watched it, in that, you know, I like if your defense can hold them to 21. At times, I'm concerned if the A&M offense can get to 22.
Right.
No, you know?
Well, I mean, I think if you look at their last however many games it is, let's call it seven games, they've scored three touchdowns offensively only once. The rest of them have been two touchdown games. The only time they did it was against LSU, and they ended up losing that game, obviously. So, they've got to figure out, I mean, this goes back past Alabama. I think South Carolina was the last time. The Auburn game, they didn't have an offensive touchdown. They won. And then Ole Miss, they had two. LSU, they had three. And Sam Houston, I don't count in this conversation. And we know what happened to App State. And we know Miami, they got just enough. Right. Again, they've got to find ways to score more points.
Exactly. And that is such the key against a team like Mississippi State. Because, I mean, I realize they're coming off – pretty big win against, I mean, it's Bowling Green. But still, games like that give you confidence. So they're going into this game against A&M, not that they needed confidence against A&M because they have always played well against A&M, but coming off the LSU loss, they kind of felt like that they've got things rolling in the right direction again. So, you know, A&M needs to not start slow.
I'm going to put you on the spot on a question that it just hit me right now. What coach do you think, opposing coach, have you seen the most? I'm assuming Mike Leach has got to be in the mix.
Yeah, I saw him when he was coaching at Texas Tech.
Yeah. I'm sure you saw Mac Brown 100 times, you know, obviously, yeah. And Leach now at two different stops. I'm assuming he's got to be one of the high ones.
Yeah, I probably have covered more Mike Leach football teams than I have covered maybe anybody else.
And they've had success here, too, and wherever he's coaching.
You know, you know, the thing that you like about Mike Leach is, you know, he's just so bizarre. I would not want to cover Mike Leach because he's kind of hard to pull a soundbite from, you know, going back to TV. I mean, you know, you want something that's, you know, 15, 20 seconds long that hits a point that you can get to it and you can move on to something else.
He would talk about five things in one soundbite.
Yeah. You just don't want somebody somebody who's just going on all kinds of tangents. You don't want that. But, yeah, I've enjoyed covering Mike Leach. I've enjoyed covering, Sam Pittman was fun to cover. you know, if you ask me a couple more questions, I'll think of somebody else that, you know, comes to mind that, you know, I've enjoyed. Spike Dykes.
Yeah.
God, I could hug that guy. I mean, he played great games against Texas A&M, but just such a nice guy. You know, Dan McCarney, when he was at Iowa State, such a nice guy.
Yeah, it's cool, and we'll be seeing Mike Leach here soon. Let's talk a couple of last things with you. Defensive players, they are starting to grow up on both sides of the ball, but defense, I feel like we're seeing the secondary guys really step up, the D-line, Walter Nolan had a nice game. Like, we're seeing those guys grow up on the defense.
And, you know, they've had to. The thing that I have been impressed with was some of the intensity that I've seen guys play with, like Antonio Johnson, Chris Russell Jr. Mm-hmm. had a – I don't know if it was a tackle for loss or if it was a sack, but, I mean, when he was done, it was like he and I made eye contact. Now, you know, we were 20 yards away from each other, but he just, like, looked right into the camera lens and just gave me one of those kind of deals. So, you know, I love when these guys have success and, you know, they play with a lot of emotion. What you don't want to do, which is what I think Jimbo talked about, you know, you don't want to get so hyped up that you – either overplay what you're trying to do or you try to do too much. You know, you just, and I know it's coach speak, but you gotta play in the moment. And then if a great moment happens, then you gotta relish in that.
Well, this may be part of your answer, what I'm about to ask you. What do you think the key is against Mississippi State?
Oh man, they gotta put pressure on that quarterback. They have got to keep those guys off balance. When he completes a pass, you got to knock him on his butt. Yeah. I mean, you got to let him know that, hey, I was within about this far of being able to get to you, and next time I am going to get to you. But, you know, the thing that's so tough about Mississippi State is they don't really let you get to the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, it's, you know, they're already in the shotgun, which we talked earlier about, not being under center. So, I mean, it's like they're throwing these dink passes, 5 yards, 8 yards. And then the thing that Anais would give A&M that Mississippi State receivers are pretty good at is those yards after catch.
Yeah.
I mean, Anais, what he was on the receiving end of that, what, second and 30?
Second, and he got it.
And what was it, about a 10-yard pass?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the thing about Anais that, you know, you're going to miss not only because he would capture the attention of, you know, the defensive backs in the secondary, just, you know, the fact that, you know, he's not going to be out there until you have somebody else that steps up. They're going to be able to play a lot of, you know, a lot of man, and they may be able to slough somebody off on somebody else. Somebody's got to pick up his slack.
I agree with you. Thanks so much, man. I appreciate you.
Oh, you betcha, man. No problem. Thanks for having me.
We'll do it again soon, and I'll see you on the road this weekend.
Yes, sir.
When we come back here on Texags Radio, we're going to hear Jimbo on Anais. We'll hear that and get to your text messages. It's Texags Radio.
Well, I think diversity and leadership and experience. I mean, when you go through all three of those things. And, you know, I think, but he'll be around to help those guys and mentor those guys, and that's the best he can do. I mean, as far as that goes, he'll be right there with him. I know that. But he's a unique player. He's a unique competitor. I love him to death, and it's just an unfortunate situation.
Jimbo, yesterday on Anais Smith, it is Texags Radio presented by David Gardner's Jewelers here in the Rollo Insurance Studio. Going to be very difficult to replace his production on the field and off the field and what he means. But as Jimbo mentioned there, he'll be around. He'll help those guys in meetings. He is always a part of this program. And look, Billy told us, I think it was yesterday, that he could see him, you know, especially as close as he got to the NFL this past offseason, that he may go that route. Again, there's always an opportunity that he could come back here and play. So, I just want what's best for him. And if that means the NFL and getting healthy, let's do it. Let's see Anais at the next level. Good conversation there with Daryl Bruffett. It's funny because he's so right. The different way you look at sports depending on your seat, if you will. When you watch as a fan, I watch as a fan many times, you know, certain games, you see things through a certain lens. As a sports talk show host, you're more analyzing, and you know, as a columnist, obviously you have that same kind of flow as well. When you're a TV guy and you only have 3 minutes to feel, I say, Phil, it's not a negative. It's just you're trying to give the top news of the day. It's a different, you know, you're watching through a lens, you're shooting, you see the focal point of the action. From up high, you see it all. You see how, you know, potentially the wide receiver that was open that it didn't hit. It's a different view. All great perspectives, and I really appreciate Daryl's time here on the show. Let's go to the News and Social Center Anna Rosa Peterson will read us a couple of text messages that we can get into.
All right. Tay Agan Taylor says, I'd like to see us more aggressive offensively, but the reigning national champion and current number one has followed this same recipe and has been criticized for the last 4 to 5 years for some of the same things Jimbo and company are being criticized for now. And then it all came together. And UGA is looking very strong and maybe back to back. Maybe we need to be patient and let this thing play out.
Yeah, of course we have to be patient. But we also want it now, especially knowing how much talent is here and seeing the plays that could have been had. But I agree with that. You do have to be patient. Certain things you don't want to be patient for, though, right? Like when you have games where you're not moving the ball at all and you have 15, 20 yards in the first quarter. Now, if you have a track record of success, you can kind of stomach that. All right, they'll just weather the storm. But we are talking a pretty long haul of not scoring a lot of touchdowns. I think they're close. When Jimbo says they're close to turning the corner, I believe him. And I think there are a couple plays out there that we look at that game completely. If that, was it Yolkeith? The play that in the middle of the field, right? If that, or Moose, if that play goes down and he scores a touchdown, the kind of distance that A&M has and the way they can play that game moving forward. And there was plays in Miami game. So there have been these plays that you can point at. And then there's the plays that you don't really point at until you rewatch the film. And you see like, if this block happens here. And it's not that hard of a block. You just get this block down. That gives them 2 extra seconds. And look at where Anais is. Or look at where Devon is. Or look at where Evan Stewart is. So there is that as well. So, and these games have been coming down for all SEC teams to the wire. Who makes the least amount of mistakes, especially in crunch time, ends up winning the game. A&M missed a field goal with just a little bit of time left. Arkansas comes around. They miss theirs. A&M ends up winning. But A&M, remember, ended up missing an extra point earlier. So they would be playing for the tie, not the win. So there it is. Let's go back to Anna Rosa to try to get another one or two.
Steven from Big Spring says, could the center snaps being a little off this year be due to going to a traditional shotgun snap versus the dead snap A&M centers have used in previous seasons?
I don't know. I think Bryce said yesterday in the press conference, he said he had a couple of bad snaps during practice too. That he just needs to clean it up at practice, and that'll translate to the game. And if he does so, I think I'm not worried about Bryce. How about that? Yeah, there were some bad snaps, but it'll get better. I'm fairly confident in that. All right, when we come back here on Tex-Ags Radio, we're going to talk to Jordan Pugh, Mr. Opinion. He's got some great analysis. That's coming our way. A little bit later on in the show, we're going to talk to Robbie Falk, who's a co-host of Thunder and Lightning, a show over Mississippi State. He is our Mississippi State insider for today in our Get to Know series. We've got all that. We've got plenty of text messages on the A&B text line to get to at 979-693-1150. You're listening to Tex-Ags Radio, presented by David Gardner's Jewelers, here in the Rollo Insurance Studio. We'll be back in a few.